All right. Well, my name is Jonathan Carlson, and I currently work as a Bible worker in Finland, in the Swedish speaking part of Finland. I don't speak a word of Finnish. Well, maybe a few words, but not really. There's a large Swedish speaking population in Finland, and that's what I work with. And my wife. Whenever this slide comes up, I can show you some pictures of my beautiful wife. Her name is Hulda, and she has, together with us and together with the church, we started a restaurant, which is officially a center of hope. The General Conference supported it, so it is a mission center that has as a vision to reach out to people and do city mission. So that's my passion. I worked as a Bible worker for 8 years, since 2007. And before that, I attended Arise, which is a Bible school, much like AFCO here. It was then at that time in Michigan, in America. And I can say that I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in an Adventist home. But especially during my teenage years, I left God. I stopped reading the Bible. I stopped having an interest in religion. And through many circumstances that I cannot share everything about now, the Lord touched me and He brought me back, especially through the prophecies and through the amazing, like this creation evolution debate, these kinds of things helped me to understand that the Bible is trustworthy. And then if the Bible is trustworthy, I also found that, well, maybe the rest of what the Bible says is true. And what about this stuff about Jesus? Yes, it must be true. And I surrendered my life to Jesus and told Him that I wanted to work for Him. And I was so eager to share my faith. And I didn't really know how to, but I still gave Bible studies. My first Bible study that I ever had was on the topic of hell with some people that had not really had a great interest in that topic before. But anyway, the Lord blessed, and since I could attend Arise, then I had the opportunity to actually learn how to give Bible studies. And throughout the years that I've worked, I've learned some things, so I hope that some of these mistakes that I've done, that you won't have to do the same, but that we can learn from each other. So that's a little bit about me. I will share a little overview of this course. Some of you have received a schedule. It's not for sure written in stone, this schedule. It might vary a little bit, but just so you have an idea about what we are going to talk about. And this is my wife. I just wanted to brag about her a little bit. Isn't she beautiful? This is in her cook hat, and in the restaurant that was started. So today we'll have five parts of this session, and we will have 10 minutes breaks. Well, we'll see how much we'll be able to do now, since we're a bit late. But by God's grace, we'll get through this. So let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we will dive into our subject. My gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for this opportunity to study your word together. I want to thank you for the opportunity that you've granted me to be here, and I pray that we may learn from each other as we talk about these kinds of things and about personal evangelism. Please make us effective witnesses for you. Fill us with your Spirit, and may the words that I speak be words that will be beneficial to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, just if you have any questions during the presentation, just feel free to raise your hand and ask. I don't want to just preach to you. I want to teach. That's what I'd like to do. Well, just an introduction to this course overview. Today we're going to have basically an introduction and some, it sounds boring with a theory, but basically personal preparations we'll look at. And we'll look at the idea behind evangelism. Otherwise, this course will be very practical. We will look at on day two on social skills and how we can develop our social skills, how we can share our testimony with others in a non-threatening but powerful way. And then we'll look at the Word on day three, and we'll look at how to give a Bible study, how to prepare a Bible study, and key pointers in giving a Bible study. Now, how many of you have ever given a Bible study before? Okay, almost all of you. I think that maybe you know some of these things already, but we will look at these things, and at least these are hints that have helped me in learning how to give Bible studies. And then on day four, we'll go into gaining decisions. We'll talk about how to lead a person, not just from learning the theory, but actually challenging them to follow what they learn and to take steps. Because if we just tell them theory and we can't bring them to make a decision for Christ, there's no point really in giving the Bible studies. Well, there is a point in sharing the truth, but there's not a point in actually doing evangelism. So that's very important. And then day five, we will look at working in a church setting. Some of the key principles in being a Bible worker. I don't know how many of you are planning to be Bible worker or wishing to be Bible workers. But at least we will look at that and very important topics about how to work in a church as a Bible worker. And then on day six, we will talk about some personal management skills that will help us in our witnessing as well. So, by God's grace, I hope that this will be an inspiring week for you guys. I have some assignments for you also. Now, I don't know if you were able to get to the book, Gaining Decisions for Christ. And did any one of you?
Several of them, some here and some there.
Really? Okay. Yeah, it would be very good if all of you would be able to read that book during that week, during this week that we have. And
we have, both in Germany or Europe and in the UK, they did not have any more copies. We got all that they had, but I think there's four or five copies there and some down there.
All right. Well, do you have Persuasion by Mark Finley, maybe?
Yes. I have the only copy over here.
You have the only copy?
We are studying together.
Studying together?
That's the Finley.
Yeah, that's the Mark Finley. Yeah. The small one, right. Okay, there are some other books on this topic, but I have one Persuasion here, if someone would like to read it. But anyway, Winsome Witnessing by Gary Gibbs is another book. And of course, if you don't have the books, it's going to be hard for you to read them. But I would have, actually, you make a book report at the end of this this week about the book that you read. So it is a short, thin book, so I don't know if some of you are fast readers, you can go through it and then you can lend it to someone else. But Yeah, that will be at least by Wednesday, if you could give some kind of report or a favorite chapter report at least that you have read. Then memorizing, we have or you have this AFCO manual, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there are some things there that you can memorize, and that will be on the exam. We'll have an exam on Tuesday. So there are some sentences. Two Bible texts and two Spirit of Prophecy quotes that I'd like to have you memorize. And the first one is on the front. Maybe you have already memorized that one. But it's on the front of the AFCO manual.
That's a different
one. Oh, there's a different one?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. I see. Then you don't have that one. But then you'll have to find it in Acts of the Apostles, page 9. And it says that the church is God's appointed agency for the salvation of men. It was organized for service, and its mission is to carry the gospel to the world.
May I take a picture of it and send it to our
family? Yes. Okay. It says that the church... page 9. Acts of the Apostles, page 9. The church is God's appointed agency for the salvation of men. It was organized for service, and its mission is to carry the gospel to the world. So that quote... Yeah, that's it. Just that part, not the whole page. But that thing you need to memorize. And then also in Ministry of Healing, page 143, the famous quote of Christ's method alone is found. 143. It says, Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. And the Savior mingled with the people as one who desired their good. He ministered to their needs and won their confidence, and then he bade them follow me. So that quote I'd like you to memorize also. And then it's the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. You can memorize it in whichever translation you're using. Preferably English, so I can understand if you've...
Because we already are memorizing every week, and we have tests every week on Bible verses, and we memorize different languages and different versions.
Really? Okay.
Because some of us, for example, I work in Romania.
Right.
It's useless for me to memorize in English. I have already over 300 verses memorized in English, but I can use them.
Okay, but then I need someone to help me find out if you...
That's no problem.
Yeah, okay, you can do it in your language, if you like to. And then Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It's also a Bible verse that you need to memorize. So, otherwise, I hope to have some handouts for you. I wasn't able to get that out to you. Most of the information that I'll share is already in your AFCO manual, so I don't think that you necessarily need it. But if you take notes at least, and then I can give out some handouts at the end of the day if I find time to prepare it. Potentially, you might just get the PowerPoint you can study for. So then on Friday you'll be sharing your testimony, and we'll talk about how to do that, but that will be a part of the assignment, that you will share a very short 1 to 3 minute testimony of how you came to know Christ. And then we will have some practical aspects of meeting objections. You will divide up two by two, and you will go through meeting objections and making appeals. So that will be on Monday. Yeah. Are there any questions about this so far? Good.
What will the memorization be? Will it be on Tuesday?
It will be for the exam on Tuesday. Yeah. At 11:30.
What now about the book report?
Yeah. The book report you're supposed to leave in before the end of this course. And if you have some of these copies here, then it would be very good if you all could read that book, Gaining Decisions for Christ. Let's do this way. Either you do Gaining Decisions for Christ or you do Persuasion. I have another copy that I can lend, and you had one too. Read. Do you know how many gaining decisions do we have?
We have five.
Five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay. What I would recommend, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Is that when you have the book reports handed in within a week after they each get the book, I can see if we can get some from the state.
Okay.
And then you would each have it, and it would be a full book report.
All right. How about we do this then? If we have five copies, and you have one persuasion, you have two of them.
You have two.
Okay. So we have two persuasion, and then we have one winsome witnessing.
This I know from John. I read it.
You know it? You have read it? Well, that's good.
What's the name of John? Is it here?
So then you can make. You do a book report. You can choose either Gaining Decisions or Persuasion, and one of you get to choose Winsome Witnessing. So by the end, by Wednesday, I'd like you can start reading it now. And by Wednesday, I'd like a report of the book that you have read.
Okay. Read the book and write the report until Wednesday.
Until Wednesday. Yes.
I have one request, if I can, to read. We were supposed to read quite a lot of pages for Sunday here. And if we're doing this, we can't do that.
Okay.
So I would ask that Paul and Paul, so we can't do that.
Right. Which pages?
From the manual, we received an assignment to read two sections.
That assignment was...
Which two sections was that?
Section 1 and 3.
Right.
That assignment was a bit ago, though. I'm not sure that
they have enough coffin.
What's happening next week, then?
Next week we're having a cooking class.
Next week after you leave, we have 2 days of worship and music. You leave on Wednesday evening, is that correct?
Yes.
So we have 2 days of worship and music, and the week after we prepare for the Great Controversy instruction, and we go on the Reformation tour for some days.
Mm. Well. So, what? Yeah. So, but the thing is then that I have these books and I need them back with me, so we have to do this before that time, and then we can. If you have like these sections that you have, I think if you take notes and you. You will be able to, and if you study the notes, you will be able to pass the test, at least, for this course. But it's not a hard book to read. They're very easy to read. Yeah. Okay.
I think I have it in German upstairs, the other one, Gaining Decisions. I can look later if you want to.
Okay, but we can talk about that after the class. Then I can talk to Ed a little bit about it, and we'll see. Yeah.
Jonathan, I will talk to you also after
the All right. But let's move on then. We'll put a parenthesis on the book report for now. So let's get into our topic. Why do evangelism? That's what I want to share these last minutes that we have now together. Yes.
Will we get the slides? So do I have to take only notes, or do I have to write slides down?
No, you write down you can write the notes, and you'll get some sort of handout also. But yeah. Evangelism, there are many reasons for doing evangelism. And I'd like to bring out four reasons why we do that. In my work as a Bible worker, I find it a great passion to do so. The first reason for why we do evangelism is basically for saving souls. It's very simple. And I'd like to read from the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 18. It says there, chapter 3 and verse 18. Ezekiel 3 and verse 18. It says, "When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hands." Now, God is saying we have a responsibility on our part. Because we have, you know what we have? We have the cure for the problem of sin in this world. Now imagine with me that you were a scientist, and you invented this amazing medicine, right? That could cure any disease. Now, if you had that, if God gave you the opportunity to find out this wonderful medicine, now you have a responsibility also to share it with others, don't you, that are suffering? Otherwise, they perish. If we have opportunity to do it and we don't do it. So we have, the gospel is actually, if we go to Romans chapter 1, Paul says that he has a debt to other people. Romans chapter 1, verse 14 and verse 16. Maybe someone else can read, so I don't have to read everything. Verse
14 to 16.
Yes, 14 to 16.
"I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek."
All right. So Paul is what? He's a debtor, he says. What is a debtor?
He owes something.
He owns something, exactly. Paul owes something to everyone, he says. Because he has, why? Why is he a debtor?
He has something that the others need.
Hmm?
Christ did.
Exactly. He preaches. He wants to preach the gospel. And he's not ashamed of the gospel. Why is he not ashamed of the gospel? I used to be ashamed of the gospel. I used to fear. You know, my best kept secret in high school was that I believed in God. And that was very frightening, because all my friends, they ridiculed religion. But Paul, he was not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it had the power to save. It had the power to transform people's lives. It transformed my life, and I've seen it transform so many other people's lives. This woman, she is... she came to some of our meetings that we had, and she heard the gospel preached in a powerful way, and she wanted to know more. She started to study the Bible, and this transformed her life. And she said, "I have such a hunger for the Bible. I never felt this way before." But she just wanted to have more and more of the gospel. And as soon as she received it, she started sharing it to other people. It changed her life, and she was confident, much more confident, because now she had experienced this transformation in her own life. And so that's what Paul is talking about, that he's not ashamed of the gospel. Second reason, let me say one thing more about the first reason. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. You guys have heard of the golden rule? What does the golden rule say? Right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's from Matthew 7, verse 12. It says, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Now imagine that. How many of you have 7 verse 12. Now, how many of you have experienced joy in receiving Jesus into your life? Anyone? Praise God. Like, if you've received this, you have assurance of salvation. You have assurance of eternity. But imagine if you were a person that did not have that. How would you want... Let's say that now the person on the street, it's the person on the street that now has that joy of salvation that you have experienced, and you are the person that has not received Jesus into your life. What would you want that other person to do to you? Wouldn't you want that person to share? Wouldn't you want that person to tell this wonderful truth about the Bible? And the golden rule says, what you want others to do unto you, you should do towards them. So this is an important thing, to save souls for eternity. Now the second reason is for personal spiritual growth. There's no better way to learn something for yourself than to teach it to others. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 11. And verse 25. And someone can read Proverbs 11, verse 25.
The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself.
This is a principle in the Bible, that he who waters will be watered himself. There was a man that was out in the snowstorm, and he was struggling in this terrible snowstorm, and it was far away to the closest village, and he felt that I'm actually about to die. I will not survive getting into this village. And it was so, he got so cold, and everything was looked really dark, and so he actually lay down in the snow and said, "Now I'm about to die." But then, as he lay down, he felt something in the snow, and he found that it was actually a hand, and he found another person there in the snow, and he realized this person was not yet dead, but he was very close to being dead. And when he realized this, that, oh, there is a person here that needs to be saved, the energies inside of him just woke up again. And he actually took this man and pulled him all the way into the village. And they both got saved in the process. And I think this is a beautiful picture of doing evangelism. Doing evangelism will not only save another person, but it will save yourself as well. It will develop you personally, like nothing else can do. Tryon Edwards, he's a person that wrote some famous quotes, and he said, "If you would know anything thoroughly, teach it to others." I did not know how to give Bible studies when I started giving Bible studies. But when you start giving Bible studies, then you really need to know. Because what happens? Well, I sit in this Bible study, and suddenly a person asks a question. And they say, "Jonathan, what does this mean in the Bible?" And I have never thought about that question before. But when this person that I'm studying with, that I want to reach for Christ, when they are asking a genuine question, you know what I do? Well, if I don't know the answer to it, I'll say that. I don't know the answer to it. But the thing is, I will go home and I will study out that topic myself. And I will study like there was no other topic that was so important in the Bible. I will look at everything I can find and like, I need to find the answer to this question because the other person's salvation is dependent upon it to some extent. You see? When we reach out to others, then we will learn things much better than if we just sit in church and or somewhere else and we just listen to what someone else does. It's when we put these things into practice and when other people ask us questions that we will actually deepen our own understanding of the Bible. In order to enter into His joy, the joy of seeing souls redeemed by His sacrifice, we must participate in His labors for their redemption. All right, that was a quote that was on the wrong place. I meant to read this one. This is from Testimonies, page 2, verse 100 and... Oh, sorry. Testimonies, volume 2, page 170. It says, "God has not apportioned you to your lot to merely watch over and care for yourselves. You are required to minister to and watch over others. And in this exercise, you will manifest those evils in your character which need correcting, and will strengthen those weak points that need strengthening. This is the part of the work we have to perform, not impatiently, fretfully, unwillingly, but cheerfully, gladly, in order to reach Christian perfection." You know, we're called as Christians to develop character, aren't we? We're supposed to reflect Jesus in everything that we do. Now, how are we to reach that standard? Well, some people, they think, they have this hermit mindset. They think, if I want to become holy, if I want to become a sanctified person, then I need to move away from everything that defiles me, right? This is the basic concept of monasticism. That's what they do. You know, monks that are up there in the monastery, what they want to do is to reach perfection. They want to develop Christian character to perfection. That's their goal. And they move away from society and they sit out there and just try to reach perfection in and of themselves. Now, this is totally not going to work, according to this also. Because when we are alone, then our defective characters will not be shown so much. Now, those of you who are married, you know what I mean. Like, I thought I was a pretty good guy until I got married. And then suddenly I realized a lot of things that I needed to work on. A lot of things that I was saying, like, how in the world could I have those character traits in my life? Of course, the big question is, how could my wife love such a person? But you know, when you come into contact with people in many different ways, then you're, as she says here, the evils of your character will need correcting. It will show. They will strengthen and those who are, we can strengthen those weak points that need strengthening. So this is so important. So the way we become holier is not by isolating ourselves from the world or going away from other people, but it is actually in doing evangelism. It is actually in reaching people that we will develop Christian character. Does that make sense? Okay. So, third point. Why to do evangelism? Is to make God, others, and yourself happy. Now, I know in your manual, there were 7 reasons for doing evangelism, so I put only 4 here because I thought some of them were very similar. But at least this is a very important point. Let's go to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, verse 5 through 7. Can somebody read that?
When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need not, which need no repentance.
So there's joy in heaven when people are being saved. Let's read verse 9 and 10 also.
And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I have lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth.
Right. And the same thing is true in the parable of the lost son, verse 32. You can read that also.
It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this that brother was dead and was alive again, and was lost and is found.
You know, sometimes when we think of evangelism, of course we think about the duty and the debt that we have to others, and yeah, we have to do it. But the greatest reason, I believe, in doing evangelism is also for joy. What's the purpose of telling people about Jesus? It's to give them joy, isn't it? To help them to find a greater joy in their life than they can find anywhere else. And in that, we're making God happy and we're making ourselves happy. Now this, here we see that God was happy when a sinner repents. And also, the woman that was looking for this coin, she was rejoicing, wasn't she? And what about the sheep? Do you think the sheep was happy to be found? I think so too. In Acts 8 and 39, there's this eunuch that is baptized. And it says that after he's baptized, verse 39, it says, Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So, he was glad. And that's the purpose of evangelism, to make God and others and ourselves happy. The joy set before Christ, which sustained him in all his sufferings, was the salvation of the poor sinners. This should be our joy and the spur of our ambition in the cause of our Master. In so doing, we please God and manifest our love and devotion to him as his servants. So what should be the motivation in doing evangelism? Exactly. Our joy shall be the salvation of poor sinners. And she says, this should be our joy and the spur of our ambition. So to have joy to reach people, that is what will spur us on. And you know, when a person is baptized, that's the most happy time that I know of. It's such a wonderful thing to see someone make a commitment to Jesus, isn't it? And that joy will be manifested in our life and should motivate us. Number 4, unifying the church. This is the last part before we take a break. Sometimes people say that You know, we can't do any evangelism until the church is unified. Have you heard that idea before? Maybe you haven't, but at least it is quite popular that we need to fix the church first so that it's unified and that all these conflicts they work out so that there are no conflicts anymore, and then we can do evangelism. Now there's a fundamental flaw in that aspect, and the fundamental flaw in this reasoning is that as soon as you fix the problems of a church, there will be new ones arising. Because the people are not focused outward. They're not focused on mission. And if they're not focused on mission, you can try to fix their problems, but they will always have conflicts. So actually, evangelism is a means of uniting the church. It is a means of unifying people and helping them to follow what Christ, the mission that Christ has given us. Now, I'm not saying that we should necessarily, I'm not saying that the Bible is unimportant. We have what the Bible says is important. And when we do evangelism, of course, we need to be united on the basic principles of the Bible. For example, that's why I think it is very difficult for us as Adventists to do evangelism together with other churches, you know, because we have very different messages in that sense. So I think that this unity is important in the fundamentals, but most of the time in churches they're not, we don't question so much the 28 fundamental beliefs. That's not, well, so sometimes that is the case, but even though that is the case in some points, we're still united in this church, and we still believe in most of the 28 fundamental beliefs. And when we do that, and when we focus on outreach, then things will change, and the church will be more united. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 47. It says, then those who gladly received his words were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. This is important. So the doctrines came also, and they were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of the bread and in the prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continually, daily, with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So when they focused on evangelism, when they had their focus outwardly to reaching lost people, this unity was also seen. And many times in our churches, we have some differences. My experience is that when we focus outwardly, that's when even these things will be changed. For example, I was working in a city in Sweden, and as we came back from Arise, that was just after that time, and we were so excited about mission, and we wanted to spread the three angels' messages to this whole city. And right from the beginning, some church members came up to me, or there was especially one church member. They told me and Don, who I was working with, my friend, and they told me that, you know, what you are teaching is completely wrong, and it's fanatical, and this has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus, and just went going on and on and on. They were just telling us right up front that you are a fanatic, you are crazy, and what you believe is not true, and your education is not good, and all these kinds of things, just right up to my face. And, well, we just said, well, thank you, I guess, because we had a temptation there that we could go and argue with her, right? And tell her, no, well, this is actually the Bible, what the Bible says, and I'll prove you wrong. And then we'll go on and we'll show her that actually this is part of the gospel commission that Jesus was giving us and so on. All of this we could have done, but we decided, no, let's not do that. And we'll talk about that later on, to never argue. You should never argue. But what we did instead was saying, well, let's just focus on the ministry that we feel called to do. Let's just focus on reaching souls. After about 3 years of working in that church, over 30 people were baptized in that church, which was very unusual for a church in Sweden. They had not had baptisms in many years, basically, and so they were amazed. And when I left that city, this same person came up to me, same lady, and she told me, you know, everything that you've said, everything that you've preached, I actually believe it. This is the message, and I know that I feel so sad. She was actually crying. She was so sad that we were leaving, because she felt that this is reality. And you see, the doctrines came when we focused on mission. And these, she could hear it. You know, when you go and you do an evangelistic meeting, and you tell the church, let's do an evangelistic meeting, and if some church members don't believe in our message, when they come to the evangelistic meeting, they will hear it also, right? And they will be remembered. Oh, that's right. That's actually what we believe, and there will be greater unity in the body of Christ. So evangelism unifies the church. So that's the fourth point.
Ellen White also says this. There are a few quotes, I guess, which would say that if there are problems in the church, then the solution isn't going out.
That's exactly right. We'll actually have a whole session on that when we talk about church work. Thank you. I'll bring those quotes out. But this is just fundamental. So let's take a break, and 10 minutes, we'll be back here, 15:15, and we'll continue.